Good morning, Bart.
Good morning, Vicky.
Oh, we are at it again with more rabbit holes. We got some juicies this time.
Yeah, this week's sort of mishmash of every weird thing we've come across for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, we have from what a rabbit hole to crazy stories to haunted Ohio to feeding Skittles to cows.
Yeah, and I just spent the last hour rereading a bunch of these, and now I'm just wondering what?
Some crazy stuff's been going on. But I mean, what have you been up to?
I've really just been busy trying to get stuff at work finished up and work on my own stuff at home, which is still way behind. I was supposed to have had like three things written by this week, and none of them are written. Instead, I just binge watched Bill Nye yesterday rather than do actual writing.
It's still early though for both of us because I know we both have a lot to do. Yeah, and I'm just get ready for art show season. When this comes out, I will have an art show a few days after this episode comes out.
And then you got one right, then you got one the next weekend after that.
Yep, because we have Audmall May 6th and 7th. And if you are the first 50 people each day, you get a swag bag, and you and I are going to have something special for everybody. Not going to tell. Not going to tell. We got it from the black market. But we're going to have something special from Tails in their bags.
And that means if you're the first 50, one part of the first 50 on Saturday or the first 50 on Sunday, you still get one.
Yep. So we're going to have some cool, fun things for everybody. But yeah, just getting ready for art show season and. You know, we're approaching our year anniversary, so we gotta come up with something big for that, I think.
Absolutely. And that's something I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks. Once I realized that this was coming up on our year anniversary.
Yeah, I've got a couple ideas. I think we're gonna have to maybe go on an actual excursion trip. Get a couple of our friends together and go find some trouble.
Yes. And actually, speaking of friends, I'd like to say hello to Mohammed, one of our recent listeners. I got him into the show, and he's been listening ever since. In fact, I think he may have been one of the first people to rate us on iTunes.
Ah, welcome. Thank you. Yes. Our first like on iTunes. Good stuff. We would like more. I know you guys are listening. We would like more. Show us the love, huh, Bart?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I know we got some crazy things in the works for us. It's just trying to find time for everything.
Yes.
But shall we dive into our rabbit holes?
Yes, and speaking of rabbit holes.
Let's see. Oh yeah, this one. A rabbit hole in the farmer's field leads to a mysterious cave. So this is in England. Apparently, originally rabbit hole in farmer's field leads to an underground sanctuary said to have been used by devotees of a medieval religious order, but is everything what it seems? I know this one, they thought it was Templar.
Yeah.
And I was looking at some of the pictures. It's been dug. You could see where it was dug out.
Yeah, they definitely like it. It turned into a lot more than a rabbit hole. Obviously, that couldn't have been all there when they found it. There had to have been a lot of digging involved.
Well, it's rock, so it's possible that there wasn't much they had to take out.
No.
It's small, but I mean, if this was, you know, Templar era, you know, what was it? 19th or 18th or early 19th century,
Yes.
it's only like 6 feet tall. You know, they would have been shorter anyways. I know you and I wouldn't have any issue in here, but this place looks great. Well, that and all the and apparent the caves were reportedly sealed up in 2012 in a bid to keep away vandals and practitioners of black magic.
So it actually may have been dug like before, like dug and found before 2012.
Yeah, no,
And it didn't take a lot.
it was probably in use before then. way in use, and then they just buried it. But looking at it, they put candles all throughout these pictures, and it's really, really beautiful. I mean, can you imagine the amount of work it would take to dig out this bedrock? I mean, it's even saying here, some chambers are so small that those exploring have to enter them on hands and knees. But you can see, like, this one, it looks like there's a cross carved in it.
Yes.
They've added all the candles and stuff. It kind of, the lights, it really brought the picture up. But yeah, you could see, now looking at this in the entrance picture, it looks like when they buried it, the inside really wasn't that buried. It was just the front that they had caked it in. Because the picture here faces out, and you could see where it's like half up the door.
Yeah, but you can barely see in. Like, I'm looking at the entrance, and I don't even know how anybody could get in there.
That's because it's half buried. But you could see where all the dirt and stuff was stuck on the top of it. Yeah. All the debris and things. So without that, that was an actual door. So maybe the inside of it was never really filled in. It was just the top and the front of it.
Yeah, well, and they said it was just sealed up. It wasn't like the entire thing was filled up.
Right, right. Yeah, right here. Oh. Yeah, it was dry. You never know what you'll find in your own backyard, you know?
Yeah, it's just and like the guy where did they say they found this one in general?
It's in England.
These are actual caves that people knew about. They just forgot. Because it says the Caton Caves. So this may have just been an entrance that nobody knew about.
The original purpose is shrouded mystery, but historic England, which describes the caves as a grotto, believes they were probably built in the late 18th or early 19th century, hundreds of years after the Templar order was dissolved. Templars were in the 17th century, so it could be anything. I mean, we know with, like, history, it's not uncommon for things to be found and lost and found again and lost again. And, you know, you're hundreds and hundreds of years, even more from then, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's cool stuff. You never know what you're going to find. But the work in these pictures are beautiful. And of course, we'll have all this on our Facebook page, but really, really pretty. Kind of reminds me of something that you'd find in Indiana Jones.
It does. Well, and it says here, too, that he had seen videos of it on YouTube. So people had, you know, from the early 2000s, probably, mm-hmm. you know. And so he just went to investigate it himself also and couldn't find it. And that's why, and it was because it had been sealed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he just kept walking past it until he realized that this little rabbit hole was the actual entrance.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's some cool stuff. Kind of makes you wonder what's in your own backyard. But yeah, talking of backyard.
Yeah, there's, tell me when.
Already.
Okay. Speaking of backyard investigation, it looks like the frozen body of a Paleolithic man was found in the Himalayan mountains. Apparently, a team of Norwegian and Swedish mountaineers were on an investigation and found the frozen remains of this human. It looks like this is the oldest sign of human life ever found in that region, which I guess being in the Himalayan mountains, any sign of life would be good. You know, the older you get, the more people had lived up there at that point.
Well, you gotta think with the Himalayas too, because the way the fault is, it's growing.
Yes.
So if you go, you know, how many, whatever, thousands or whatever, millions, as they're saying here, that it, you know, it was much flatter than what it is now. So I mean,
still to find anybody from that time period, you know, that the body is somewhere that it can be found.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that also comes with like the climate change and stuff, because it was frozen, which we know anything that gets frozen, you're a popsicle, permanent popsicle. But with this, I can't tell. I mean, looking at the picture, is it all bones or does it have some skin on it? Because it looks like it has both.
It's been frozen so many times over, it's hard to say.
Well, and see, and that's another thing with the climate change. The stuff, the icy stuff is starting to melt more and more. Of course, you know, we're finding more and more stuff that was buried thousands and thousands or even millions of years under the ice. Because, I mean, what was it? It's Russia. What's the top of Russia? It's not the tundra. What do they call that? It's Siberian something or other.
Yeah.
They're having virus outbreaks right now because the permafrost and all that's melting. Stuff that hasn't been released in for eons. I know that there was several outbreaks of, was it anthrax?
Yes.
That, you know, diseases and stuff that haven't been, that they are. The bacteria and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, what are the chances that something's going to get released that, you know, the whole zombie apocalypse that we're not going to be able to do, we're not going to have anything to prevent it?
It's hard to say, really. And it'll all depend on, you know, seeing what's up there before this does happen.
Well, and, you know, also with the permafrost and the ground that's constantly frozen, the sinkholes that are just growing and growing and growing and growing that have, like, practically no bottoms, that they think that it was natural gas or whatever that was being released out. Did you see that one?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it was a couple meters wide, and it just, the sinkhole is just growing and growing and growing and growing. It's some crazy stuff. And you can't say climate change doesn't do anything, because it's some nasty stuff going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is kind of crazy. They also said the site was also home to tools, including a crude stone spear and a few badly damaged leather objects that are also being studied. Because they were saying that they believed that it, male Homo habilis, I can't pronounce that, believed to have lived between 1.44 and 2.33 million years ago. So it's not modern man at all.
No.
Or caveman or whatever you want to call him. Curious what they're going to do with that, because the one that they found, in the 90s in the mountains by Italy, but they've been able to get out of that one. Kind of interesting.
It is.
But like we were saying, you know, it's the past. It's lost and found so many times. Everyone says that we were, humans have been restarted how many times?
And it's just going to be, you know, it's just going to take a lot to see, can we prevent that, you know, prevent that from happening again,
mm-hmm.
you know, or even worse, can we prevent a Wally situation?
I think we're just going to. I think we're going to burn the world down, basically. You know, that's like, supposedly that's one of the conspiracy theories. That's what we did to Mars. We were there first. And we burned it down. I think there's a possibility that that's going to happen. I mean, you know, when we did the one episode of talking about, like, the third eye and the seers, the stuff that we talked about, it's almost like it's happening now.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch the news and pay attention to the news, it's almost like it's happening now. It's kind of scary, because it's like, you know, there's nothing that we really can do. And run for the hills about all we can do, I guess. Speaking of that,
Yeah, I would say actually speaking of Wally.
Yeah, that's about burning the world down, right? Stephen Hawking's greed and stupidity will end humanity earlier than expected. Like I was saying, with the restarting of the human race, supposedly, I would not be surprised. This is just another chapter where we're just going to practically wipe ourselves out and just a very small, minute group will start up again. But, yeah. Hawking has warned us on countless occasions about how humans are actively pursuing AI without caution. And the funny part with this is I actually just watched a video of Russia. They have an AI that they're working on right now. It can drive, use tools, and there was something else. It could do a whole bunch of other stuff. And they're hoping to have it released by 2030. This thing was shooting guns with both hands, hitting targets. It was driving a vehicle. It was using a drill and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I think we are pretty much there. But the thing is it going to be the AIs that are going to take us out like Terminator? Or is it going to be nuclear war going to take us out? You know? Because, I mean, like, we're already damaging our food supply. You know? Everybody wants the pretty lawn, and we're wiping the bees out. Without bees, we don't have food. Without food, we starve to death. But I guess we can only eat Pop-Tarts, right? We don't need food. But, yeah. Hawking was heavily criticized with the AI community recently, facing accusations of being a pessimist and the spirit of pessimism in the AI instance. I think he's onto something. I really do. I think we are going to wipe ourselves out again and again and again. It just depends on what superpower is going to reign, I guess, right?
Exactly. And we can make... And back to the AI, we can make AI, you know, however smart we want it to, but we're intentionally making it smarter than us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if we were living in a world where the possibility of Star Trek could happen, then I'd say all for it.
And you know what? Ghost in the Shell. There's one, you know, with it, where they were forcibly taking people and putting their brain in mechanical bodies and creating them like a weapon and making them remember what they wanted to remember.
Well, that's like right there. That's like polar opposites.
But see, two
different worlds. And unfortunately, the Ghost in the Shell world is almost more realistic at this point than Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. But see, the thing
because
is,
Star Trek had this idealistic world where everyone, you know, where Earth was going to survive, we were going to travel the stars, all these races would live together, including AI. And whereas you have Ghost in the Shell where let's just kidnap people.
Yeah, exactly. We own your body, you have to do what we say, or obviously you're not going to survive with just a brain.
Yeah.
But watching, you know, I think that's, you know, like I said, if we don't end ourselves with nuclear war, with a World War III, I think it's going to be something like that, where, you know, you're become an object. You become a weapon. It's scary if you think on it. It's really, really scary. But it's like the whole thing of, like, greed. Like, the, you know, I think that's pretty much what's happening. It's the, let's burn the world down. You know, it's almost like nobody really cares anymore, which is ironic. Yeah. That we are talking about this because the day that we're recording this episode is Earth Day. We're talking about how greed and stuff wants to burn the world down.
And that was actually, as I was waiting for you to restart your computer, I was reading through my daily comics. And today, in the comic strip Frass, they're talking about, if they say Happy Earth Day, it's like, that hasn't been rolled back yet, has it? You know, because it's like, yeah, at one point, you know, Earth Day is just going to disappear also, and we'll forget why it was ever a holiday.
Uh-huh. Like I said, it's burning the world down. It's pretty much, I think that's pretty much what's going to happen. It's pretty much.
Well, on a brighter note, because apparently this is a brighter note than destroying the Earth.
Hey, but it,
just remember, people, keep the Earth safe so that ghosts can continue to haunt it.
Well, no. See, that makes you wonder. If we are gone, do the ghosts still exist? If people
is
are
that
not...
Is that basically like if there's a if a tree falls and no one's there to hear it?
Yeah, it still makes a noise. It could still crush a squirrel or two.
So apparently, this is an article from Week and Weird back in January, but they came to the conclusion that probably one of the most haunted houses in the world is, or at least in the U.S., is in Bel Air, Ohio, a city that I had never heard of until reading this article.
Yeah, I never heard of it either.
Apparently, rumors have suggested that this house, which I'm guessing the picture that they have is the header of this article, is not the house. There's the house. Yeah, the house looks pretty gothic-y to begin with, so I don't know what they're saying. It looks like an innocent house. It says it sits on top of a cursed coal mine above a ley line.
Oh.
And is in the vicinity of a Native American burial cave.
Wow. That's like multiple like whammies.
Yeah.
Dude, so it just needs a dash of dark magic.
Exactly. Or, you know, a dash of dark magic and some weird hobo living in the basement.
Oh.
So apparently, one evening, a gray apparition appeared to one of the people living there, to the owner. It leaned across the couch cushion while she was sleeping.
But how did she know if she was sleeping?
She was sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, but I mean, did she feel it?
Here's a quote. It says, one evening, a gray apparition appeared to Kristen by leaning across the couch cushion while she was napping. Excuse me. Shocked, she quickly asked the man who was, and he was there, only to watch him walk slowly to the foyer and disappear. And this was just the start of what happened at this house over the next couple months. Family was terrorized with bad luck, oppressive energies, and violent activity. During the activity, they tried to rent the home out to families and then just didn't tell them what was going on in the house, which honestly I'm pretty sure is against the law.
I guess it depends on what state you're in. Because I think some states they don't have to let you know, and other states, that's a selling point.
But what about here?
I think as long as you're not screwing animals, I don't think anybody cares.
Okay. And so, like I said, they tried to rent the house out. And then they had enough of it all and to sell the house to the village for just a buck. But even no one wanted to buy the house for it.
I know this one, it was saying that the terrorized with constant bad luck, oppressive energies, and violent paranormal activities that peaked one evening when the family dog was thrown against a bedroom wall, while Kristen herself was held down by an unseen force. Wow.
Yeah, that right there, I would have said, I don't care if I own the house or not, I'm out of here.
Dude, that sounds like a movie. I'm shocked that hasn't been turned into a movie yet.
Actually, it has.
Oh, it has.
Well, not a movie, but it was on TV. It said it looks like the season 2, episode 7 of Paranormal Lockdown on January 20th of this year on TLC. They did a ghost hunt and investigated the story.
Interesting.
One
That's
of the many ghost
cool.
shows I don't watch, so that would explain why.
I don't have cable. I haven't had it in like 3 or 4 years, so.
Well, and I just got rid of the cable and went with Sling, and I don't think Sling has TLC, so the fact that I didn't watch it to begin with doesn't really matter now.
Yeah, I mostly just stick with the docs, the different documentaries. But speaking of crazy things. You hear about the incident of the farmer feeding the red Skittles to his cows?
I want this to be, you know, like a cow walks into a bar type joke, but it's not.
No. Okay, this is also from January. Hundreds of thousands of Skittles were found covering the Dodge County Highway in Wisconsin, having fallen off the back of a truck overnight, but the fact that someone had a leaky truck filled exclusively with red Skittles isn't the strangest part of the story. Local police report that they were on their way to local farms to be used as cattle feed. Why? Because it's cheap alternative to corn. Skittles were confirmed to have fallen off the truck of a Dodge County sheriff, he had reported. It is reported that the Skittles were intended to feed cows as they did not make the cut for packaging at the company. In the end, the Skittles are actually for the birds. If all of this makes you a little uncomfortable, we don't blame you. This is this is some out there stuff, and it's the most reassuring thing to know that beef cattle are being fed red Skittles and bog. Not only that, but it's been weirdly difficult for investigators to tease out exactly what's been going on here. And they got pictures of the highway of Skittles smashed all over the place. There's no little S on them, but you can definitely smell it's a distinct Skittles smell.
Oh, and it gets even worse. It gets even worse. If you go down further in the article, it states that a Mars spokesperson came out and confirmed that, yes, what was found on the road was Skittles. Even though it doesn't have an S on it, they were Skittles. The reason they didn't have an S on them was that they didn't make the grade for human consumption. So not only are the cattle eating Skittles, they're not eating Skittles good enough for humans.
But we're going to be eating them anyways.
Exactly.
We're going to be eating them anyways.
But by that point, they'll have been reprocessed anyway.
Hey, now their farts can smell good. Curious if they're still doing this.
Oh, okay. A 2012 study from the Journal of Dairy Science found that high sugar grasses could increase methane emissions, which means high sugar feed could be having the similar effect. So, yeah, there'll be sweet farts, but also really a lot of farts.
What is that, methane released?
Yeah.
Oh, kind of scary. But I also found one. This is kind of an older article, but it's still crazy, crazy cool. 15 of the world's craziest unsolved mysteries. Did you hear about the green children?
I had never heard of this story before until here. It definitely must not be a big enough folk tale, you know, to have traveled this far.
Well, this is also quite old, too. It's in the 12th century, two green children suddenly appeared in the town of Woolpit, England. The brother and sister looked normal. That is, except for the bright green hue of their skin. Apparently, they spoke an unknown language, wore strange clothing, and the only thing they would eat was raw beans. The boy eventually died, but the little girl grew up, learned English, ate other foods, and lost her green coloring. She told others she and her brother came from a place called St. Martin's Land, an underground world where everyone was green. The basis of this story is unclear. Some believe it's merely a fairy tale. Others claim it must be an altered version of a true story. Others still hypnotized that the children were actually extraterrestrial beings. They thought they were... But this is hilarious because I always thought the aliens were gray, not green.
Well, it's been both ways.
Are they related to Marvin Martian?
For a long time, it was always green. But then, I don't know if it was because of the X-Files or just before the X-Files,
Roswell.
Gray became the color.
Roswell.
Did they say that in Roswell?
All the reports and stuff that I've ever seen of Roswell, they were little and green, or not green, gray, white. But you got the Tam Tam case?
Yeah, it looks like in 1948, A man was found dead on Somerton Beach in Australia, carrying no ID and having no dental matches whatsoever. Autopsies said that he was poisoned, but there was no actual poison in his system. And then an expert was brought in later to examine the dead body and discovered a small pocket had been sewn into the waistband of the man's pants. And inside the pocket was a piece of paper that just said, "To Mom Should," which happened to be the last words in the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, which is a poetry collection. "To Mom Should" translates to "It is completed." And the piece of paper had been torn from the actual book, which had been in a car near the beach. So that was a lot of work, you know, done right then.
The book held the phone number of a nurse and coded message. Police could not solve it. The nurse told the police she'd given the book to a man named Albert. They thought that they had identified the dead man until the guy appeared alive. And get this, he still had the book the nurse gave him. And the paper was not torn.
Wow.
Time traveler?
So they still haven't identified who the man is.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Because if they found the person who they believed it was, and he was still alive and looks nothing like this body, then who's the body?
It's weird. But then who the car belonged to is the question.
Exactly.
You think that you gotta think that's the 40s. They probably didn't have car records like they do now.
No.
I'm like, time traveler? Maybe? Okay.
Every time we get a case like this that it could be time travel, it's like, but is it time travel? You know, it's like, I'm so skeptic, and at the same time, I would want it to be, but I don't want it to be because I just don't believe it.
There's so much out there that we just don't know. I mean, we've talked about in the past how we're like kind of dumb, like we're dumbing down in some aspects. But then here's this one. The Max Headroom Broadcast Interruption.
Yeah, this one is really good. And in fact, this article only mentions it happening once, but it actually happened twice that day.
Of course. They had to interrupt Doctor Who. You just don't do that.
Yeah. Well, they had interrupted a football game earlier that day. And they'd interrupted, and all it was just him or her on the screen moving back and forth. But the station was, and that was on WGN. They were able to quickly change the frequency to a different frequency and cancel it out.
But there's been a lot of like TV hacks. Stuff over the in England and throughout the 80s.
Oh yeah, well this was before everything became digital too, so I mean it was a lot easier to do this.
And then this is another one where they never have been found or identified or caught. Nobody knows anything about it, but I didn't watch the video. You did. What was the did you actually watch the full video?
Yeah. Like I said, the first time when he just interrupted WGN, it was just, you know, acting weird. There was no voices or anything. During the Doctor Who broadcast, however, it went on for like a minute and a half. And he's just there talking like, you know, haha, I interrupted. Actually, it starts off with it cuts in from Doctor Who, and it's a really nerdy character, and it's like, ah, you're just a nerd, you're never gonna get laid. And it goes on, and then like after 45 seconds it changes again to the person bent over being spanked with his butt hanging out.
Oh, shit.
And again, this was hacked into PBS, which made it so much worse than it already was.
Ugh, that's funny. Well, the next one I'm going to skip because everybody knows...
Everyone knows it.
Yeah. Everybody knows D.B. Cooper. You guys, we'll have this posted. You guys want to read it, go for it. But this Valnik manuscript, this has got me kind of interested. The manuscript is handwritten illustrated volume in an entire unknown language. It has been dated back to the early 15th century and is named after Wilfred Venick, who bought it in 1912. Now, there was one story of a Brazilian kid who was into this kind of stuff, too. You know, the whole, like, aliens and UFOs and just different things like that. And he spent a handful of years writing manuscripts in an undetectable, like this, in an unknown language. He wrote. And then he just, after he was done with his last book, he disappeared.
Huh.
But it's the exact same stuff. I don't know if it's the exact same language. It's really difficult to see in this picture, but it's kind of... This kind of almost, looking at the picture of this book, it almost strikes at me as a, because it's got down here by, it's got six sections in this book. Herbal, astronomy, biology, cosmology, medicine, recipes. But they can't crack the code. How do they know that's what that is? But then again, everybody thinks it's a hoax. That gets back to the whole thing of, like, not knowing. Everybody thinks things are hoaxed when they don't understand stuff, you know?
Yeah. I'm zooming in on the picture that they have here, and it's still, when you zoom in too far, it's hard to see. Yeah, I can't make heads or tails out of what he's trying to say to begin with. Then again, it is a medical journal, so...
Yeah, nobody really knows what it is.
Yeah.
But this would be, this would be interesting. Well, because if it's going back to the 12th century, you know, that's the medieval times. Did a lot of people read and write back then? Like, wasn't it mostly, like, what you would consider, like, the upper class, like, the upper noblemen? That,
yes.
Or even monks? Because I know, like, I watch a lot of history stuff, and the ones that were doing that were the monks. Nobody really read. I know women did not read. That was, like, a no-no. But that changed a little bit. But that kind of makes me wonder. Now, is it something that someone, like, their own, like, language, their own handwriting? Or is it just one of those where it was, like, Druid or something?
Yeah.
A language that nobody, you know, knows now, but they knew back then. That'd be kind of interesting to try to crack some of that stuff. Even, like I was saying with the kid, you know, the college kid that vanished, that would be kind of interesting, too. He could find if that stuff was real. Like, it... You know, try to crack some of it.
Yeah.
We all know.
Next one.
You got the Malaysian airplane.
Yeah. This one I had never heard of. However, Malaysian Airlines doesn't exactly have a great track record.
No, but I mean, you didn't know about this one?
This one I had never heard of.
Wasn't this the one that was going to Australia?
Yes.
But no,
no, it's going to Beijing.
Yeah, but no, this is the one that they thought that it crashed into the ocean, right there.
Yeah. Apparently, and like I said, Malaysian Airlines does not have a great track record to begin with. But this one, going from Malaysia to Beijing, had 227 passengers and 12 crew members, made its last call to air traffic control about an hour after takeoff and disappeared from radar. Almost immediately after that, the Malaysian military radar tracked the plane for nearly an hour after that, as it went off its flight path, and left the radar over the Andaman Sea, and then it just sort of disappeared. Yeah, I hadn't heard about this one.
And talking about that kind of stuff, I'm skipping some of these, because majority of these, like, D.D. Cooper, everyone knows about a lot of these, but some of these I've never really heard of. What about this one? The Cryptos? The sculpture, which sits outside the CIA headquarters in Virginia, was made by artist Jim Sanborn. Contains four encrypted messages. Three of those have been solved, but one remains a mystery. No one, amateur or expert, has been able to crack the code.
This one is an interesting one. It probably all depends on the time of day and what the weather and sun was like on the date that it was built.
Very possible. Because, I mean, you can see here it's all the alphabet, but it's like a wave and the letters go one way and go another way. Very, very, very interesting. I almost want to figure out how they solved the other message and how many lines and stuff like that is, and then probably figure out the other one. Like, you know how, like, you have to read something backwards and upside down for one, and the other one's this and the other one's that? I'm wondering if that's not what this is. It looks like if the sun hits it right, it'll go across the ground, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious if he's still alive.
Do we know when it was built?
It doesn't say. I would have to look it up, but yeah, no, it doesn't say. Very short, but it's very strange. The artist is telling CIA secrets without anybody knowing it.
Oh, it was recent.
It was?
Jim Sanborn built this sculpture. It says in 1980... I'm looking at an article from Wired magazine. In 1989, American artist Jim Sanborn was busy working on his Kryptos sculpture, a cryptographic puzzle wrapped in a riddle that he created for the CIA's headquarters. Oh, and there has been a clue to honor... What year was this? Did this come out? 2014, when the article that I'm reading came out. No, I don't want an ad. To honor the 25th anniversary of the wall's demise and the artist's 69th birthday this year, back in 2014, Sanborn revealed a clue to help solve his iconic and enigmatic. I cannot say that when my nose is clogged. It's the second clue he's released since the sculpture was unveiled in 1990. So they put it up in 1990. So that's been 25, 26. That's been about 28 years ago. No, I'm bad at math. That's 27. The first clue, 4 years ago, concerned that he might not live to see the mystery of Kryptos resolved, Sanborn released a clue revealing that six of the last 97 letters, when decrypted, spell the word Berlin. And then the second clue he released in 2014 says he's adding the next word in the sequence, clock. That may or may not throw a wrench in this theory that is referring to the Berlin Wall. So there's 86 characters left to figure out what it says.
That would be interesting trying to solve it.
So it includes the word Berlin and clock.
There's probably a certain time in Berlin.
Yeah.
You would need to see, like, you know, noon in Berlin, you would be... it's like 8 hours difference?
Something like that,
yeah.
It would
be like sunrise or something? For us? Here's a really creepy, twisted one. It's kind of, wow. The Pollock twins. In 57, two sisters, Joanna 11 and Jacqueline 6, were killed in a tragic car accident. A year later, their mother gave birth to twins, Jennifer and Jillian. Then it gets weird. Jennifer, the younger twin, had scars and birthmarks on her body that was identical to Jacqueline's younger deceased sister. The twins began to ask for toys that had belonged to the deceased girls. Toys they had no knowledge of. They stated one day that they wanted to go to a park they'd never been to before. But Joanna and Jacqueline had. In one instance, their mother watched them play a game in which Jennifer laid on the floor with her head in Jillian's lap, pretending that she was dying. Her sister said, "The blood's coming out of your eyes. That's where the car hit you." Their parents hadn't discussed the accident with the girls ever. Their doctor to conclude that it was likely the twins were reincarnations of their sisters. Apparently, at five, the odd behavior stopped along with any sign that they were connected to their departed sisters. And Jennifer and Jillian grew up as normal, happy kids.
Huh.
So is that like some kind of like a bleed over, maybe?
Yeah, it's kind of, because especially since these were twins, whereas the other two were 5 years apart.
Then when they were five, it stopped. Well, when we were talking about the Sayers and stuff, how kids are more connected to that, like the spirit world, than, you know, older they get, they lose it. So maybe by the time they hit five, they lost that connection. Maybe they weren't reincarnations of their sisters, but they were connected. You know what I mean? Like, they could, like, that information was still there, and they were able to tap into it.
Yeah. Ooh. Here's another one. It's the Toynbee Tiles. Apparently, as starting in the 80s, hundreds of tiles appeared in different cities in America, along with some of the major South American capitals, all showing some variation of the message. Toynbee idea in movie 2001 Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter. The first tile was spotted in Baltimore in 1984, and if they've been seen since, they've since been seen in Washington, D.C., Kansas City, Boston, and other cities in America. They are directly inserted into asphalt. Toynbee is thought to be a reference to a Ray Bradbury story called The Toynbee Convector. But they've also been considered to be related to Arnold J. Toynbee, an historian.
Another theory in which a caller to a radio station claims that Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey is based on Toynbee's writings and speaks of a plan to reestablish life on Jupiter. You know what's funny? We talked about this too, how, you know, supposedly in the 80s, they wanted to send nukes into Jupiter. Like, because they were saying, like, you know, Jupiter is a failed sun.
Yeah.
They were going to send nuclear bombs into it to basically relight it. And that's when the comet crashed into it, and they realized, you know, if that comet shattered up like it did, broke up, it didn't do anything, which that would have been around that same time frame.
Yeah.
What are, well, because the next one they want to do, they want to try to do it to Saturn, because Saturn is the same thing. But that's kind of interesting. Is that a foreshadowing, maybe?
Possibly.
How would you get that into the asphalt?
That's what I don't get. Because looking at this picture, I mean, that's pretty deep in there.
I mean, asphalt, I mean, then they lay it down, it's hot. So they just, like, somehow melt the asphalt enough to get that embedded into it?
But you've also got, like, there's four lines in here. And they're all different, you know, all four lines of text. And they're all different colors.
I mean, is it, like, one piece? They just put it in?
That's what I'm kind of concerned about, because I don't understand how it's like one giant piece of tile with the letters cut out and then new pieces placed inside that tile.
And I can see the side where it's broken off a little bit. It looks like, you know, you got the main part in the middle and then you've got all the smaller pieces around the outside. What does it say? You must make a...
You must make a something tiles. I can't make out what it says before tiles.
Yeah, I can't. I'm looking at this on my phone. I can't zoom in, won't let me.
Oh, actually, I can do that. No, I can't.
This is...
Apparently that image doesn't exist anymore. But that's interesting that it's sort of like the 80s version of that. If you've seen around the Akron area, where people paint rocks and then leave them places for people to find and then rehide.
Yeah, they do that with Pokemon. They're doing it with that too. People are crocheting them, putting them in little baggies,
and
and
then
hiding
leaving
them.
them.
Yep, and then you gotta hide it somewhere else.
That's sort of like the same thing, only you couldn't really take this out and rehide it.
Well, and a lot of stuff, I mean, the 80s was big on, I mean, it's still going on nowadays, but it's art, where people were just doing some leaving and doing some crazy things. Maybe that was part of it.
Maybe.
You know, because, what was that? Maybe the Toy and B idea, Urbex 2001 Resurrection, you know, that does strike me as a movie.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that they're saying that's what inspired 2001, A Space Odyssey.
This is just, it's really, 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 I wonder if you still find these today. Probably not. I bet
yeah,
you
can. I'm doubting with the way roads are repaired and paved over.
Especially
I imagine if they weren't pulled out, they've been paved over.
Yeah, because like if all these are like northern cities that would have a lot of snow and ice, so this would be, I bet you're right. But yeah, I'm kind of wondering if this isn't like, it's like, you know how like you can use like a letter or something that it stands for a word, but you highly abbreviate it because you just don't have the space. I'm wondering like if that first line, if that's like kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Two Y N the idea. The B B E E could be B Y not B entertainment idea. 2001. Resurrect the dead on planet Jupiter. This also kind of reminds me of Jupiter. Was it Jupiter Descending?
Yeah, there was a movie made about a documentary made about this also.
Ooh,
it's called Resurrect Dead: The Mystery of the Toynbee Tiles. Came out in 2011.
I have to look that one up. That's up my alley. But yeah, I mean, there's so much that we just don't know, like the cryptos and the different languages. I want to read some more of that. I think I have some weekend plans.
Yeah.
I was gonna make a steampunk hat, but I think that may have to wait. I think I may have to do some more reading, or do both. Hook my laptop up on my work table and see what I can find. Some crazy, crazy, crazy things. I think that's what a lot of it is we're just missing things.
Yeah, exactly.
We're forgetting it, only to be found again. You know? But, alrighty. Since we're gonna leave off with asphalt. Stuff hidden in the asphalt. Alrighty. You ready to call it a day, Bart?
Absolutely.
I know I need some breakfast and it's a lunch
also,
time already.
Also, the documentary is on Netflix. Not on Netflix, sorry. On YouTube. Even better.
Oh. Yep. I'm gonna hook up my laptop.
I was looking for it as you were talking and it's like, it's not on Netflix. Where else to look?
Yeah, my little Roku box is dying, so we're gonna have to get a new one. I think
get one of the sticks.
Yeah, that's what Ken.
Great.
Ken wants to do that. Wants to get a cracked stick. I'm like, all right, that's fine with me. I don't care. So where can everybody find us, Bart?
You can find us at on the Tangibon Network and on WeebieGeeksPC.com. We also, if you'd like to contact us at tftdpodcast@gmail.com.
And we do want to hear from you guys.
Absolutely.
I check the mailbox every day. So tired of Google telling me I can buy things for 99 cents.
And if you don't want to email us, send us a Facebook message. If you're constantly on Facebook like I am, you know, just pop us a line while you're on Facebook.
And on Twitter?
Absolutely. All of the links that we talked about today, and possibly even a link to this documentary that I just found.
We'll have all that up.
Yeah, they'll all be up on both Facebook and Twitter.
And also, different podcatchers, like us, star us, comment, let us know. I'm sure everyone knows, listens to podcasts, the more you like, star, comment, the higher up on the ratings so other people can find us, we will go. So
yeah, if you don't want to leave a review, that's fine. You know, rate us.
Yes. But I would like to hear what everyone thinks. You guys like our little rabbit holes we keep jumping in? Let us know. You have your own stories? Let us know. But everybody stay safe. Have a great weekend. And I will catch up with you later, Bart. And we will get our little secret black market project for everybody. If you come to Odd Mall, Jonas Knight Center, May 6th and 7th, you could possibly get one of the swag bags.
And meet us.
Because Bar and I will be all over the place. I will have my booth with my jewelry. I also co-running the cosplay. So I'm going to literally be all over the place. So come dressed up. Come enjoy the show. There's so much going on, especially if you're in the Akron area. You know.
Also, just a note, that is Free Comic Book Day. And there is a comic book shop across the street.
Yes. Gonna go hit up Rubber City. But yeah, come down, meet us if you're in the area. We'd like to meet you, you know, hear your guys' stories. So, all right, take care, guys. I will see you later, Bart.
See you later, Vicky.
Bye, guys.
Bye.